2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. We're going through the book of 2 Samuel. Today, listen to the title of this message: An Act of Kindness That Led to the Death of 40,000 People. That sounds kind of bizarre, doesn't it? An act of kindness that led to the death of 40,000 people. How can that happen? And as I was reading this chapter, it really, what stuck out to me is that in some ways, we do the same thing. The same thing can happen to us. And I think the principles I'll share with you today have to do with us dealing with conflict. How do we deal with conflict? Because this thing escalated out of control very quickly. It was an act of kindness, something that David came to show kindness to somebody. It was misrepresented or misunderstood, and then it began to escalate. And before you know it, 40,000 people are dead. And the same thing can happen with us. We get into some sort of a conflict with somebody in our life, and it begins to escalate. And before you know it, it's way out of control, and you don't even know how to back yourself out of it. And so I hope today that a few of these principles will help you in your life and in the future. In the course of time, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him as the king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David had at least some kind of relationship with Nahash, the king. When he died, he thought, I'm going to come and show kindness to his son. It was a beautiful intention just to bless this man whose father just died. That was David's whole reason for sending this delegation. And so it says, David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. Isn't that a great gesture? And that's the act of kindness I'm talking about today. This was totally pure motive, nothing but extending a gracious sympathy to a man whose father just passed away. When David's men came to the land of the Ammonites, the Ammonite commander said to Hanun, their lord, do you think David is honoring your father by sending envoys to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you only to explore the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? All right. What is this here? What would you do in a situation like that where an envoy comes to you and says, I'm coming over to show sympathy, and then and in your ear, your best friend or your counselor whispers, they're not really coming over here to show sympathy. What they're going to do is they're going to spy out your territory and find out where there's vulnerabilities and weakness, and they're going to attack you and destroy you. And what are you going to do? Who do you listen to? That happens to us every day. Well, not every day. It happens frequently, where somebody comes and tells us one thing, and our friend or our counselor or an advisor says, wrong. They don't really mean to do what they're saying. And we're hearing conflicting stories. One person says one thing, another person says another. Well, let me say this to you. Four things here. You do not know what's in the heart of another man. You got to understand this. When these men came to Hanun and said, hey, David's not really sending over anybody to show sympathy. He wants to destroy you and spy you out. How do you know that? How can you tell the motive of another person? And yet we do it all the time. We second guess people's statements. We question their motives. We have our friends tell us what their motives are. You do not know what is in the heart of another person. Now, maybe the Lord gives you a word of knowledge, and I grant you that. But you don't know what is in the heart of another person. The Bible says, who knows what's in a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? That's 1 Corinthians 2:11. No one knows. And so if I have somebody coming to me saying, that's not really what they're intending, I would say, well, how do you know that? Well, what if it's your best friend? They still don't know. even if it's your best friend. They don't know what's in the heart of that person. You have to go back to the source. And so, what I can say to you, ladies and gentlemen, don't always listen to people. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 13, verse 12, that says, if you hear it said, see, if you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led people of their town astray, saying, let us go worship other gods, gods you have not known. What should you do? It says, go and inquire. See, don't jump on your horse and start taking heads off. If you hear one of these towns is starting to go after other gods, don't just take it in hook, line, and sinker. You have to go and inquire. It's a bad decision to take an action on these kinds of words. He says you must go and inquire and probe and investigate it thoroughly. And then, if it's true, you can deal with it. But don't just take it on the face value of this comment. Search it out. And that's what Hanan should have done. When David's men came and said, we are here to show sympathy, and his advisor said, no, they're here to spy on you. He should have taken it within his own responsibility to say, I need to go back to David and find out exactly what his intention is here. But instead, the thing escalated. There's two sides to every story. I say this a lot. Sometimes you get involved in marriage counseling situations, and sometimes when that happens, maybe the wife comes to you and starts sharing things. And I want to say this to you, anybody who ever comes to me without your spouse, I know there's another part of the story. I'm not calling you that I distrust you, or I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying you have a perspective. I'll hear it, but I want to hear the other side of the story. What happens sometimes is we hear the one perspective and all of a sudden we're in it, hook, line, and sinker. We believe everything that's been said. Their misery becomes our misery. Their anger becomes our anger. Their frustration becomes our frustration. All of a sudden you find yourself in an escalating situation instead of realizing there are two sides to every story. It's just a piece of advice that you can't live without in our world today. And Proverbs 18:17 says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward to cross-examine. And then finally, I can just tell you this. I've said it already. Go to the source. The Bible says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. Alone. Don't be afraid of this. This is what Jesus said. This is the way that he wants us to handle conflict. If your brother sins against you, don't go calling your neighbors. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't send text messages out. You cannot believe what this person just said to me. See, you're putting that person in a place of being poisoned by your anger and your frustration. Jesus said, you must go between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. And the whole reason for going is not to, you know, point a finger and tell the person how nasty they are. The whole reason of even going is that you would gain your brother, that there would be a reconciliation, a working out of the problem. And so you can see, I think, from these four little principles, how Hanan laid all of them aside and began to escalate the problem. Next thing he did is in verse 4, Hanan seized David's envoys. He shaved off half of each man's beard, and he cut off their garments at the buttocks. I'm like, okay, Lord. He's just telling us like it was. They cut it off at the buttocks. That's embarrassing. You know, those guys, I was reading about this. They said these guys did not wear underwear. You know, so You cut their garments off at the buttocks. I mean, they're walking down the road with half a beard, you know, half a beard, and their rear end hanging out, among other things. And they're having to walk back. And it is a shame to these men. I mean, this goes against their faith. There's things that they walked in under the law that these guys are now having to be exposed like this. It was a terrible thing. So the second principle that I want to say about Hanan is he was, first of all, unwilling to seek truth. Now he's unwilling to show respect. And I'm telling you this. When you find yourself in conflict with people, you have got to respect people. You may disagree. You may hate the thing they did or said, but you have got to respect people. What escalated this was this show of no respect. And so they cut these guys' clothes off. And the Bible says when David found out about it, he told them, he says, they were greatly humiliated. David said, stay at Jericho until your beards grow. And so David honored these men. He showed respect for them. There's one scripture I'll share with you. It says, whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. And I guess I want to say to you, in terms of the idea of respect and honor that we give to people, they're created in the image of God. Every human being is created in the image of God. Again, regardless of what they've done to you, this is a person created in God's image. And it's wrong for us to show disrespect to any person. You know, if you're a person like that, that you kind of fly off the handle and you become disrespectful either in how you treat somebody or how you respond, what you say to them, ask the Lord to give you an insight like this, that this is a person created in your image, Lord. Help me to honor them. Next thing Hanan was unwilling to do was unwilling to humble himself. When the Ammonites realized that they had become obnoxious to David, I'm reading verse 6, they hired 20,000 Aramean foot soldiers from Beth Rohob and Zobah, as well as the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, and also 12,000 men from Tob. And my question is this, whatever happened to just admitting you were wrong? Whatever happened to just saying, David, I blew it. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. I should not have listened to these men. But instead of doing that, instead of being willing to come and just humble himself, he says, man, David's really mad at us. I'm going to turn it up a notch. I'm going to escalate it even further. I'm going to hire some mercenaries to come and fight for me because I know David's coming for me. But whatever happened to just humbling myself and saying, I'm wrong. Can you see how this begins to escalate? Next thing is in verse 7, he's unwilling to fight his own battles. When David heard this, he sent Joab out with an entire army of fighting men. The Ammonites came out and drew up in a battle formation at the entrance of the city gate, while the Arameans of Zobah and Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the open country. So basically, they had two fronts here. Joab saw that there were battle lines in front of him and behind him, and so he selected some of the best troops in Israel, and he deployed them against the Arameans. Those were the mercenaries. He put the rest of the men under the command of Abishai, his brother, and deployed them against the Ammonites. Those are the guys that cut off the clothes of the emissaries. And Joab said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you're to come to my rescue. If the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come and rescue you. Be strong. And let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his sight. And then Joab and the troops with him advanced to fight the Arameans, and they fled before him. And when the Ammonites realized that the Arameans were fleeing, they fled. And they went inside the city. The third thing, or the fourth thing, I guess, is that Hanan was unwilling to fight his own battles. You know, when we start gossiping and telling others and putting it on Facebook and texting and, you know, picking sides and calling people to our side of the argument, we're not fighting our own battle. Jesus said, go alone. Go to them alone. You got to fight your own battles here. When you have conflict, you have got to fight your own battles. Don't Don't recruit mercenaries to fight for you. This is what Hanan did, and it escalated. And then finally, verse 15, after the Arameans saw that they had been routed by Israel, they regrouped. What I have here was they were unwilling to yield when they were obviously beaten. Husbands and wives, do you ever have a hard time yielding when you've obviously been beaten in an argument? It's like somehow I can be in an argument with my wife and, you know, she says something. It's like, well, that's right. And I might say, yeah, but you. And so I don't want to yield. I don't want to give up the fight. I want to keep escalating. I want to keep raising it up. And that's what these guys did here. They saw that they had been routed, so they regrouped. And it says, Hadadezer had Arameans brought in from the Euphrates River, and they went to Helam with Shobak, the commander of Hadadezer's army, leading them. And when David was told of this, he gathered all Israel. Again, the escalation. Get everybody out there. They crossed the Jordan. They went to Helam. The Arameans formed their battle lines to meet David, and they fought against him. But they fled before Israel. And David killed 700 of their charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers. My title was, How an Act of Kindness Led to the Death of 40,000 People. This is how it happened. At any point along the way, somebody could have stepped back from the edge. But there was a continual escalation. He struck down Shobak, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the kings who were vassals of Hadadezer saw that they had been routed by Israel, they made peace with the Israelites and became subject to them. And so the Arameans were afraid to help the Ammonites anymore. And how many could say amen to that? Would you? And see, that is the collateral damage that takes place when you pull somebody else into your argument. They're the one that gets hurt. See, the Ammonites didn't lose 40,000 people. The Arameans did. They should never have been in this fight. And when you include another person in your conflict, essentially what you're doing is you are infecting them with a poison. But you see, God gives grace to the two people to find reconciliation. That's why he says, go to them alone. When we go and do what the Lord says, he gives us grace because we're walking in obedience. He gives us grace to talk it out, to share the differences, to seek for forgiveness, to give forgiveness, and to find reconciliation. But if I include my best friend over here, well, what are they going to do? Here I am fighting with this person, and now my best friend is rooting for me. Yeah, they are miserable. They are nasty. They are whatever. And all of a sudden, my infection becomes their infection. And then, unbeknownst to them, I'm over here one day, and the Lord convicts me at church or something, and I go call my friend and say, hey, let's work things out. And when God gives us grace and our relationship's healed, what happens to my buddy? What's he going to do? Go over to my friend and say, yeah, I hated you too? See, there's nothing for him to do. He's stuck over here like out in the cold because he never should have been involved in the battle to begin with. Now, I know this kind of stuff is difficult for us to go through, but it is the principles of God's word that will set us free when it comes to conflict with people. So I just encourage you, let's do it Jesus' way, you know, and work through these issues rather than escalate them. If you have problems with somebody, go to them. If you hear a story, don't take it. Go to the source. Realize there's always two sides of the story. Be willing to inquire and to probe. Be willing to admit you're wrong. Be willing to ask for forgiveness. Be willing to de-escalate. And ask for God's grace to help you. So let's stand together. And we'll pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, it just so odd to me when I read this chapter to see something that was so innocent, so benign, as David sending a few men over to share sympathy, and how it just became misinterpreted and blown out of proportion. And it just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper until 40,000 people lost their life, over 40,000. But yet we do the same thing, Lord. What should be a simple disagreement, spoken and resolved, escalates. And more people become involved in backbiting and gossip. And all this thing can begin to happen and just make this thing way worse than it ever should be. Lord, I pray that you would just move upon our hearts by your Spirit to be diligent about how we handle our conflicts. Lord, help us to respect one another as creations of God. And help us learn how to have the humility to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. I ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.